And let's try and you know, make sure that our hearts are all prepared for worship. Never allow yourself to come with a sense of tiredness and weariness, because it just spoils everything. So let's prepare our hearts. Let's use the prelude as the time for us to calm ourselves, prepare our hearts for worship. Okay? Well, we are going to come together for worship once again. And I just hope that, you know, inside you, your heart, every time you come for worship, there will always be a sense of, you know, a longing, a sense of learning, a sense of, look, I'm going to learn something today. I'm just going to be a fresh new thing, something that I want to discover. I really hope that this will be a part of you. And then you'll find that the sense of worship becomes so much more real and precious. And one of the best things to do, if we are not, you just feel tired and worn out, always lift up a quick prayer, Lord, revive the heart, so that you really, really can be uplifted, and this is going to be helpful to you. Well, we come to the last two sons of Jacob today, and we're just going to figure out how this all is going to work out, and may this be a time of uplifting of the heart once again. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy of being able to read your word, understand it, be challenged by it, and to live a life that is significant. We pray particularly that our life's desire would be to have a life that is bountiful, abundant, blessed. Pray for your blessings as we enter into a time of worship this afternoon. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the house of the Lord to worship and to join me in a time of singing to the Lord as well. Today marks the start of a new quarter, if you have not realized. So it's April already, so quickly. And Easter is also approaching. In fact, tomorrow it's Palm Sunday. And next Sunday, we'll all be gathered at Shangri-La to worship. I hope you have made plans to attend the special Easter worship service and to stay for a time of fellowship over lunch after. So if you have not signed up, please do so today. The QR code for the online registration form is in the bulletin, so you can find it there. Okay. Well, I know that this time of the year, it's a particularly busy season for students, especially the uni students. And I mean, I hope that even then we will take time to consider the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and to plan to celebrate Easter meaningfully. Okay. At Youth Worship, we've been learning about the potential that God has placed in each of our lives. With the Lord's help and His blessings, we have every opportunity to succeed. However, that said, whether or not we eventually live out that potential, and it's really very much depends on us. Like a plant, for those of you who like to plant, for like a plant that needs to be tended to and given nutrients to in order for it to grow, likewise, we must take the time and effort to cultivate our spiritual life and our faith in the Lord. We're taught that, you know, one of the necessary actions that we must take is to address the sins and the weaknesses in our lives. Otherwise, they will hinder us from really fully living out that potential that God placed in us. But did you know that 45% of our actions, that's most almost half of our actions, they are not our conscious decisions, but they are just habits. And you know, with that, it's like our life to a large extent, it's a sum of our habits. And unfortunately also, many of our sin problems have become so persistent. They are like persistent habits, so deeply entrenched in our lives, embedded in our lives, that they are so hard to shake off. So personally, I thank God that He has been working in me. He helps me to see the sins in my life for what they are, when once I was ignorant of them. But with this awareness, I recognize that I need to address them. Truth be told, it is tremendously, tremendously, tremendously hard to get rid of all these sins, right? Because they are so much a part of me, and I know that you can identify with that. But for this reason, I am all the more grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, indebted to Him, who died on the cross for my sins. God knows and understands our struggles when it comes to struggling with sin. And so in His perfect and profound plan, He sent the Lord Jesus to deliver us. Our first song is titled, The Message of the Cross. The death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is a demonstration of God's power to save us all, including myself. And the Lord Jesus has redeemed and saved us, freeing us from the enslavement to sin. You know, when I place my trust in the Lord's power, I know that I can emerge from the formidable battle against sin and to emerge victorious. So you and I, we constantly and continually struggle with sin every single day. But my heart is not defeated nor weighed down by it, because we have a hope that is in the Lord. And there is also knowing that I'm not fighting this alone. There is certainty that I can overcome sin because of the power of God. Okay. With these thoughts, please join me in singing this first song, The Message of the Cross.
Apart, and tread in me.
Thank you so much in joining me in singing that song to the Lord. The cross represents the power of God. It also represents the love of God. John 15, verse 13, if we can have the verse fleshed out, it reads that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. These were the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. Do you have friends who will actually lay down their lives for you? I mean, friends mean a world to us, and we seek to be accepted by them. We take comfort in their company, in their interest in us, and their concern for us. But we also know that friendships can be volatile. A tiny misunderstanding can create a rift between friends. And at times, we also face disappointments when our friends fail us. I remember a time when I was very bothered by my friendships. I questioned the genuineness of the friendships that I had, given its volatility. Are my friends only friends with me because I have something to offer them? And would my friendships remain if, you know, I'm stripped away of any talent, any gifts, or anything that would position me as a friend worthy to keep? Friendships became dismal because I concluded that the most of the friendships that I had, that I held, they were mostly self-serving. But those thoughts also led me to better appreciate the love and the friendship of our Lord Jesus. His love is pure, His love is sacrificial, His love is unparalleled. And the epitome of His love is in laying down His life for us. So He sees and He knows the worst part of me, and He continues to extend His divine love to me. So I've come to treasure this love very much, and that I have no qualms, you know, if I have to lose some friends along the way in pursuit of knowing the Lord better, in pursuit of drawing closer to Him. Because having such, receive such a love that I am really undeserving of, it's only befitting that I give everything that I am, everything that I have, to love Him in return. So John 14, 15 reads, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So one expression of our love for the Lord is to know His word, it's to seek to keep His commandments. So I hope that we will look forward to a time of listening to the Lord's word being given to us, and to find freshness in them, receiving it, you know, into our hearts. Okay. The next song that we'll be singing, the final song that we sing, is called "No Greater Love." Aptly chosen to remind us how there is no greater love than that of our Lord. And this song is chosen in appreciation and praise for the love that He has shown to us. May this love light up every single part of us and stir up the love that we have, that we can have for the Lord, so that we can love Him in return with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul. Okay, it's an ode. This song is an ode. If you know this song well enough, you're probably you're much older. So because you are still very young, this song is pretty unfamiliar. We will sing the verse and the chorus once through, and we hope that you can catch the tune, and then we'll sing it from the top right once again. Okay, all right. Let's attempt this.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Genesis chapter 49, verses 22 to 28. This passage speaks of Jacob's final words to his two younger sons, Joseph and Benjamin. He spoke glowingly of Joseph, who overcame challenges to be fruitful in life. On the other hand, his words to Benjamin bore great warning. Genesis chapter 49, verses 22 to 28. Joseph, it's a fruitful bough by a well. His branches ran over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors, up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers.
Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing.
Good afternoon. This afternoon, I thought I'll share a vital lesson that I learned from the family camp. That lesson is that prayer really, really makes a difference. And this is something that we learn and experience concerning Uncle Terence. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 11, it says, "You also helping together in prayer for us." First lesson that I've learned is that prayer is helping. Prayer is not being passive. Prayer is being active. And we do our part in helping when we pray. Prayer is also something that is done together. When we pray together, we are doing our part with oneness, with unity. We are helping in prayer. And thirdly, prayer is also thanksgiving. When God hears our prayer, many will be able to give thanks to God. And this is something that we saw at the family camp when Pastor broke the news to us that Uncle Terence had an accident, and he was in dire state. He was in a coma. We really didn't know whether he would survive or not. And I remember Pastor leading us in prayer, and we all helped in praying alongside. And as news each day was given to us about how he was slowly recovering, we were learning what it means to join our hearts together as one, to pray as a church, to plead on behalf of Uncle Terence. And when we heard about how he truly was on the road to recovery, we were able to give thanks to God. Once again, as a church, really being able to rejoice in how God has been gracious and merciful to Uncle Terence. So as a youth worship, we too can learn what it means to help together in prayer, even in learning what it means to give thanks when God answers our prayer. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can learn to pray together as a youth worship. And each time when we pray, we are helping together in prayer. Help us to learn that prayer truly makes a difference. And we truly want to thank you for the way that the church came together to pray for Uncle Terence. And graciously and wonderfully, you have answered our prayers. in showing Uncle Terence mercy and in sparing him. And not only that, he has gone on to make an amazing, miraculous recovery. May we continue to learn deeper lessons of what it means for us to pray to you. And we ask that you will bless us, even as we learn from your word this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We come to the last part of Genesis 49, the special words given to all the children. Now, if you were to try to figure it all out, I wonder whether you can, you know, can you catch a pattern? Well, maybe you don't really have a real pattern, but if you were to analyze it, you begin to realize that actually the children, the order of the children, is actually according to the mothers. Right? So the children of Leah, then the children of the two concubines, and then finally the children of Rachel. That's basically the order, but there's no particular set reason as to why this comes out. Right? But today we have got two sons, and the bulk of it is about Joseph, and then the last part of it is about Benjamin. So I'm just going to start with Benjamin and end with Joseph instead, because there's very little to be said about Benjamin, except he's very hungry. You notice that when Joseph gave food, he always had more. That's not only because of his affection, but he's probably quite ravenous. He just, you know, some people consume a lot more than other people. I've seen some people, you know, at lunch or dinner, and they always seem to consume 2-3 times or more than I would eat. That's quite a bit of a situation. So this word was given as a little bit of a warning, as it were, to Benjamin. Okay, he's compared to a ravenous wolf, which is not a great word to end with. So I'm not going to end with Benjamin, I'm going to end with Joseph instead. Right? In the morning, he shall devour the prey. Now, sometimes the hunting of a wolf is not as in the morning or night. A wolf hunts differently. A wolf is basically a loner most of the time. And he will hunt, and then he will chase, and he can hunt sometimes for days on end. And then finally, he does it. So he's a ravenous wolf. He's driven by his hunger. In the morning, he shall devour the prey. And he doesn't stop. At night, he's going to divide the spoil. You know, sometimes he kills more than he needs, and he keeps on. So this is just a description of Benjamin, right? And then, of course, in verse 28, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is sort of a commentary on the fact that they were not tribes yet. They were only sons. So this idea that these are the 12 tribes of Israel is what we call a commentary. It was added on to help us to understand the beginnings of the tribes, right? But this afternoon, our focus is really on Joseph. And I would very much like to share with you how you can look at this life meaningfully and ask yourself, can you be a Joseph? Right? The first word description is a very humbling word. Think about this, right? Supposing, I mean, sometimes we read in Psalm 1, right? Blesses the man and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. Or Jeremiah 17, like a tree planted. by the rivers of water. And that's a nice thing to have, right? But have you ever thought that this was Jacob's very humbling word to Joseph? Now, this blessing is going to be a very significant one, the most significant one. How does he start? He humbles Joseph to remember. He does not speak of Joseph as a tree, only as a bough. Now that is quite a significant difference. Can you see this? See, we all like to think that we are trees. The humble word is for Joseph to understand you are a bough. Now that to me is a very big word, right? So if you really want to do well in life, begin here. Same in John 15, the Lord Jesus says, He is the true vine and we are branches. See, sometimes a mistake is that of pride, right? This is a very big mistake of the nation called Moab. And God singles out Moab and says about Moab, what is the problem with Moab? His pride. His pride was his downfall. Pride goes before a man. His downfall is there, very, very certain. And so to help Joseph understand, you are a bough planted by a well, not very significant, but you can overreach yourself and become over the wall. Well, that is a humbling start. Sometimes in life, we like to start off well. If I were you, start off humbly. Be a nobody and see how the Lord will bless. Far better than to tell yourself, I'm an oak tree. You see this acorn? That's me. I'm going to be an oak tree. Joseph, I'm going to tell you, you are a bough. Be humble about your life. He is next to Pharaoh in authority, in power, in majesty. And yet, Jacob calls him, you are a bough. A fruitful bough, but a bough. Blessed is the person who knows how to take humility. I think that is important for us to understand about humility. Okay, now this is how to look at life. Are you able to look at your life and say, I am a humble bough? Okay, number one. Two, how to look at life. Again, the last few nights, I don't know why, but I have been, I remember what I dream about. And every night, a dream is about battles. I am fighting in a river. I am fighting some enemy somewhere. I am constantly fighting something or other. I have no idea why I am fighting like that, but it comes. Well, for Joseph, his life, the first part of it was described as a battle. So first a bow, secondly a battle. Right? So we read about his battle. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him. No question, these archers are his own brothers. His battle is not against all the people, but there it is. So his first set of enemies were his own brothers. Then, of course, Potiphar. And the worst archer of all, Potiphar's wife. Mrs. Potiphar is a really nasty person. Good thing she can't shoot straight. But puts him into trouble. And he goes into jail. And then the jailer he doesn't do anything, but he just, okay, makes him work very hard. Then the butler and the baker, and they sort of, wow, this is a big battle all the way through. Have you seen your life as a battle? Right? Some people see life as a playground. All they want is going, sit in the swing here and there, swing up and down, go to merry-go-round, run around like children. Please grow up. That's not a description. A playground is not a good description of life. What did you do? So you ran around in circles. I mean, as a child. But when you look at life, life is very often a battle. In school, you have got all your so-called friends, but they're all waiting to see whether you will succeed or not. Not everyone is on your side, unfortunately. Right? So he says, okay, Joseph, your life is a battle. Question, how do you emerge a conqueror? How do you emerge from a battle and succeed against your enemies? Now, this is where we see the point of the Lord's blessings. Right? And so Joseph is told, now watch. When you go into battle, please bring your bow along in the early days. Oh, I forgot I have a bow, but no arrows. What? Or worse, I have arrows, but no bow. I mean, that's ridiculous. You need to understand. You need to be armed, and that's important. But more than just armed, what you really need is to be strong. So if you want to win life's battle, right? One of the first lessons you must learn is you need to be strong. Right? This is a very famous story of Ulysses. How he went on to the 10 years war. And then he came back and his whole house was full of suitors. Wife was called Penelope. And there they came. And they all were eating at his house and feasting on his sheep and his oxen, and every day drinking his wine, trying to pester the wife. Look, your husband must be dead. He's been gone 10 years. It's time for you to choose one of us. And Penelope knows that if he chooses one, the others will fight him and there will be no end of it. And so she made a statement. Whoever can bend the bow of Ulysses, my husband, and can shoot right at the ring there, will be my husband. Everybody agreed? No fight, no war with each other. And all the big strong ones said, no problem, we'll agree. Let's have one last feast and let's go and bend the bow. So they had a feast. And of course, the weaklings, you can't even carry the bow. The big ones found that bow, they cannot even string it. All bows, when they are not in use, must be left unstrung. Otherwise, the tensility of it all would be affected. One, they couldn't even literally string the bow, let alone carry the bow and shoot with it. That was a big problem, right? You need strength. And then came a person who looked like a beggar. The only one that knew him was the dog and an old servant. Straight away knew this is master. The old servant knew him and said, so he says, can I have something to eat? Can I try the bow? Everybody laughed at him. And so he knew what was going to happen. So he told the servant, locked all the doors. These are ruffians. These have been rude. These have been nasty. They've got evil intentions against my wife. And so to everybody's surprise, took the bow, with absolute ease, strung the bow. Straight away, they recognized, this is not a beggar. And he began to pull on the bow, took it and shot it. And then the battle began. Nobody was a match for Ulysses. This is a famous story of this Greek man called Ulysses. Strength. Well, this is what is needed. Well, Joseph must learn to be strong, right? The arms of his hands were made strong. How do you become strong? Think about this, and here we read. Number one, by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So the strength that Joseph had in his life, how could he be so strong against the taunts of his brothers? In the life as a slave, in his life as a in a prison, those were many years. How do you cope? And you learn not to whine, you learn not to grumble, you learn not to moan, you don't learn how to do all these things, you learn how to be strong. How? And we read, God will be there to help you, to make you strong. Right? Now, this is important. Sometimes in the hardships of life, you are made strong. Now, that is what we are looking at. And Joseph was being made strong right here and now. Two, by the God of your father who will help you. By the Almighty who will bless you. Now, this is the first. So the first part of it, God is going to help Joseph to be strong. What else is needed to succeed in life's battle? You need your bow. You need the blessings. Watch the blessings of God. Look at how many times the word blessing comes out. Let's take a look. Right? One. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you. Number one. What kind of blessings become very outstanding blessings? One, blessings of heaven above. Blessings of the deep that lies beneath. That's two. So from top to bottom, right? Blessings of the breasts and of the womb, referring to the mother. Right? Rachel loved Joseph, no question about it. And then the blessings of your father. Right? So when we talk about blessings, it's not yourself. Right? So there is the blessing. How does one become a victor in battles? Well, firstly, from yourself, strength. Secondly, from God. Now remember this. From God will come the blessing from above, from below. God's provision of mother, of father, they are there to support. This is all part of God's blessings. And that's wonderful. That's how we can overcome. That's how we can become successful in all our battles. I think that is something that we need to look at very carefully. Right? Now, here is a description of the blessing that is there. Okay, now this is a very interesting way of writing. The last part of it, verse 26. The blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. Referring to Isaac, referring to Abraham. So Jacob's blessing from God was, in his own words, greater than that of Isaac, greater than that of Abraham. Right? And then he says, how great is the blessing? Up to the outmost bound of the everlasting hills. Now, this is to describe whatever blessing Jacob had is extensive. Right? And then he pronounces a blessing. There is divine blessing from above, God, right? From the heavens to the depths of the earth, to the sea. Then there is the human part of blessing, right? The extent of help that will be given there. Watch this, okay? Utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. That is an absolutely different thing entirely. Right? So what does it take for a person to be blessed in this way? I think to me, the first lesson is that of, are you willing to be humble? See, the problem with us is that pride comes in. Suddenly you think you're the smartest guy alive. Sometimes you think that you are the best. Sometimes you think you are the most handsome. Sometimes you think you are the most whatever. So you are not a bough, you are an oak tree. So God, through Jacob, teaches Joseph an important lesson. In life, think bough. Not only B-O-U-G-H, think bough, B-O-W, bow, bow. Bow your head before God. Be humble. Think about this, right? Number two, seek the blessings of God. That's what the Lord meant. Seek first God, His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will come. Seek the blessings of God. What kind of blessing? Blessings from above in the heavens, blessing from beneath under the sea. That is divine blessing. All right? But don't just stop at divine blessing. There are also earthly blessings to be received. Sometimes we think, oh, I need God's blessing. I don't need anybody else. Not totally correct. There is the human aspect. A mother who loves you. A father who loves you. They have extensively provided. Right? Now, this is the extent to which it is provided, so that the grandsons can be promoted to the level of the tribes. That's going to be something. For Joseph will become Ephraim and Manasseh. Right? So this is the extent that we are, the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. These blessings, for what they are worth, shall be on the head of Joseph. These words are not spoken to any of the other sons. Right? The father looks at all the sons, and this one is a wolf. This one is a viper. Well, those are not this one. I don't even want any association with you because of their anger. Every single one is not spoken of in this way. Can't. The first thing about humility is not there. The blessings of God cannot be seen. The blessing of the Father will not be given. Right? Now, this is absolutely important for us to look at this. So what is the result of all of these blessings? Fruitfulness. Very much John 15. Right? Look at this. Joseph is a fruitful bough. A bough, but fruitful one. Right? Now we go on further. A fruitful bough by a well. And its branches are going to go over the wall. In other words, it's going to spread. It's just not going to be there. It's going to go everywhere else. And this is something that is important. And nothing will stop or hinder the blessings that will be given. Now, sometimes we look at all of these things about blessings of life. The challenge is, how do you see your life? Now, I just really want to encourage you. Don't see life as a playground. Try not to bring your picnic basket, lay a table, a cloth on the floor, and let's enjoy. And after you're taking a picnic, snooze for a while. That's what a lot of people do. And they think that life is a picnic. Don't.
Look at life as a battle. There will be enemies. Watch out for them. You need to be strong. That's your part. Right? You need God's help. You need human help as well. And when you combine them nicely together, that is what you are going to have. You are going to have victory. You will win your battles. And you can, and the result is that your life can be a fruitful one. And that is absolutely important for us to ponder over. Can we end up being a fruitful bough? Yes. But much depends on how you are in your strength. What depends on whether the Lord will bless you, you must seek. And then there will be all the supportive blessings that will come. And you combine them all together and you see the result. See, nobody ever does things on your own. I mean, let's face it, in life, we never do things on our own alone. We always need help. And there is God's help offered. There is men's help offered. The question is how we want to understand them. And if we can understand them, then our lives can become a tremendous blessing, as Joseph was. He refused to be bitter, become embittered. Instead of choosing bitterness, he chose to be better. And so he rose above everything. Instead of bitter, he became better. And that's how you have a bitter better. And that's, you know, you take a look at all these things and you realize that life can be such a blessing to other people as well. And my prayer for you, my challenge for you, be that blessing. Then I'm just watching out, see how you all will grow up. How will you all grow up? My prayer is that you will be that bough, that you will be that fruitful bough. You will be blessed by the Lord as your parents bless you, as others help you to succeed. May that joy be yours to succeed, blessed by God. Think about this. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the example of how you can and will bless. Help us always to begin with humility, to bow our heads before you, to become little more than a bow, and yet a fruitful one because you bless. Teach us strength. Teach us to seek your blessing from above, from beneath. Help us to be appreciative of the blessings that our parents have been to us, have given to us. And we pray that you will help us to succeed in our battles in life. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, thank you. And I really, really hope that you will see the Lord's blessings, make your life a real adventure of blessing from the Lord. I think that is something exciting to be. Who wants to be a Simeon, a Levi, or Reuben, or anybody else? Who wants to be a Benjamin? I mean, seriously, why can't we all seek to have the Lord's blessing? Think about these things and really be challenged to seek the Lord's blessings and have a wonderful, blessed weekend. Okay, don't forget to sign up. You have not signed up for the Easter, if you can. Right? And the Lord's blessing.